Let's turn our attention, if you wouldn't mind, to our savings and the limit imposed on our so-called lifetime allowance, essentially the amount that the government allows us to save into our pension pot before we get rather heavily taxed for it. And just how much we can save is generating, well, a rather political bun fight as we approach the general election, rather unsurprisingly. So, Rachel, if you wouldn't mind, then can you explain to us in more detail, perhaps, what a lifetime allowance is in this regard? What's going on?
So we all have a cap on the amount that we can save into our pensions and benefit from the tax perks that we all get. So there's, at the moment, I think it's 1.25 million, but there's a suggestion that that might be lowered, which the problem here is that sounds like pots of money, right? Mm. Why would anyone care who wasn't some sort of investment banker? But over a lifetime, once you take into account things like any returns from investing that amount, it starts to look like not such a big sum after all.
Well, I think that the really important way to think about this is that a £1 million pension pot, which is what they're suggesting taking the lifetime allowance down to, if you have a defined contribution pension, which is what most of the younger generation of pension savers, you know, people below their mid-40s, for example, have now, unless they work in the public sector. A £1 million pension pot will secure you an income of £27,000 a year. Now, that is plenty of money, you know, but there's a lot of people who will be hoping for a higher retirement income than £27,000 a year. And it should be very concerning that the government... This government has cut that lifetime allowance, and the Labour Party has said it will cut it, and there's suggestions that the Tories are going to say that they'll cut it as well. And it's because it sounds like a lot of money, as Rachel said, £1 million, and it is a lot of money. And in order to hit this number, what it actually illustrates is quite how hard you're going to have to save to get a reasonable retirement income. And the last thing that we should be doing is bringing that level down. We should be saying to people, you need to save more. And it's worth bearing in mind that that lifetime allowance, when it was introduced, actually rose over time, reflecting the fact that inflation will mean that that income in retirement will be worth less money. So the idea was that this lifetime allowance would rise. And then since 2010, it's been cut. So in 2010, it was 1.8 million. Then it's gone down, then it went to 1.5, and now it's been taken down to 1.25. To take it down to 1 million at the same time as getting that retirement income becomes harder and harder is economically not a good idea, to be perfectly honest. It doesn't encourage people to save.
It seems extraordinary that such a system is in place at all. Why is this attracting, at the moment, particularly such tension from the political parties?
Because of this idea that the tax relief on pensions is weighted towards the wealthier. So when you pay money into your pension, you get tax relief on it. So if you're a basic rate taxpayer, you get 20% tax relief. If you're a higher rate taxpayer, you get 40% tax relief. And the idea, the principle that lies behind that, is that the money that you put into your pension is free of tax. Then you benefit from growth. So you're not making pension contributions out of your taxed income. You benefit from growth over the years. Then when you take your pension, you're taxed on that pension income. So you don't pay tax on the way in, but you do pay tax on the way out. Now, it's obvious that if you are a 40% taxpayer, then you will benefit more from this because you are paying more tax in the first place. But that means that when you look at the figures of how much this tax relief costs the country, obviously the bulk of it goes to people earning more money. So the question is that fair? So there's ways of trying to cut the bill for that and keep a bit more money. And so far, people have shied away from cutting how much, you know, you actually get the tax relief. And instead, they've looked at this overall cap and they've looked at the maximum amount you can pay into a pension every year. And the maximum amount you can pay into a pension every year is £40,000. And you've got to be earning a lot of money to put £40,000 into a pension every year. But, this lifetime allowance cap of 1.25 million, when you translate it back into the pension that will buy you, it's not that much.
Can't you just find other savings vehicles, financial vehicles with which to save some money then? If you've got a cap, why not look for someone else?
You can do, but it's about the tax-free incentive, really. Also, I think that there's a problem with meddling with something that's so long-term. If you are trying to plan your retirement prudently from a young age, as we all ought, And then you have various governments coming along and sort of meddling with that number. It's very hard to judge. And to be confident that when you get to the point at which you might have what you consider an ample pension pot, something that you would be happy retiring on, that it won't be worth less than you thought it was going to be, or you pay tax in a way that you weren't expecting.
But you're talking about young people. Wasn't some of this idea, Labour leader Ed Miliband last week announcing with the pensions and tuition fees idea that he would look to this to pay for reducing the tuition fees? So you know, young people can benefit.
Yeah, but what you've got to remember is that under that plan where he's saying young people are benefiting and this is going to affect older people, that's not true. This is going to affect young people because this is the young people saving for their pension that it will affect. It won't actually affect the older people. So you're just taking money off young people and then giving it back to them. And I'm not sure that, you know, connecting tuition fees and pension saving is that wise an idea, because they are two completely separate things. It's like, should we be subsidising university education because we think that it is an economic good? I mean, arguably, we probably shouldn't be charging tuition fees of such large amounts to students if we're going to encourage them into university, because it's a good thing to have a more highly educated population. Should we be encouraging pension saving because it's a good thing to not have people relying on the state and it's a good thing for people to have a wealthier retirement? Yes. Do you need to put the two things together? I'm not entirely certain that you do.
It's just that the two are such large pots of money, and when there's really pre-election giveaways but with nothing extra in the pot that can be spent, then you have to look for other areas where there are large amounts of money that you can sort of rejig. So just cutting from 9 to 6 grand, the tuition fees, were left with a shortfall of billions. So you've got to find another good pot somewhere where no one's going to make too much of a fuss. And potentially this is seen as, certainly at the moment, an easy target. But I think as awareness grows of the implications for sort of a wider group, more ordinary people, those who are less affluent, then with further scrutiny, it won't be so easy to go prey on pension pots.
There's a lot of noise about a lot of subjects, let's be honest, in the run-up to the election. How much should we take from these?
I would take this... Personally, I actually think that this is quite serious and people should take this very seriously. Just because, I mean, obviously Ed Miliband stood up and said that this is what he wanted to do. And there was a suggestion that the Tories are going to do a similar thing. Now, they may not do a similar thing, but you've got to bear in mind that the coalition government has taken the lifetime allowance down from 1.8 million to 1.25 million. At the same time, actually, as what that will buy you has fallen due to falling annuity rates. But I think it's quite serious because when you look at it, you say, well, what if someone just cut the lifetime allowance to £600,000? And you say, well, someone surely couldn't do that. You wouldn't take it from a million to 600,000. Well, it's gone from 1.8 million to 1.25 or potentially 1 million. So they could do. I just think it's sort of a limit on ambition. It's important to note that this isn't a cap on what you can pay into your pension. You can still pay money in after this.
Yeah.
But you then get taxed very heavily on when you take that money out. So it basically effectively makes paying any more money in above this level not worth doing. But, I mean, you can save into an ISA, for example, where the benefit of an ISA is that whilst you don't get tax relief on the way in, you don't pay any tax on the way out. The problem with hitting things like tax allowances on pensions and the system around pensions is then it starts making people question, well, when they've done this and we still don't have any money, will they go after our ISAs?
Yeah.
You know, you need a nice framework in place for people to save and invest because it encourages them to do so. And constantly chopping and changing the rules doesn't really help.
Also, governments or competing governments at this stage will never go for things that are hugely unpopular. So it's almost we'd be, you know, doing ourselves a disservice for saying, oh, they're never going to do it, let's not worry about it too much, because that will be exactly the thing that they'll go for. That where there's a fuss, where people are getting angry, where there's resistance to policy, that's where, you know, you're more likely not to see it happen. So we should, just in case, I think, we should get worried, get nervous, write about it, talk about it, if you don't want it to happen.
Because they're not standing up and saying they're going to take the winter fuel allowance off wealthy pensioners. You know, and there's a lot of wealthy pensioners, let it be said, who don't want that winter fuel allowance. Mm. And there's actually no official way for them to give it back. So there was this classic example where I think it was Alan Sugar, I think it was Lord Alan Sugar, I think basically came out publicly and said, why am I getting a winter fuel allowance? I want to give it back. And he couldn't give it back. And so the government has said, well, you know, unfortunately, it'd be too difficult for us to make it so that you can give it back. So why don't you just give it to charity instead? Which is fine, and it's great to give it to charity, but it would probably be better if we weren't giving the winter fuel allowance to pensioners on high incomes who don't need it. And should we be tackling problems like that at the same time as talking about hacking into lifetime allowances on pensions, which, let it be said, this affects young people. People think pensions, £1 million, wealthy older people. It's not. This is younger people.
That voice you're hearing is editor Simon Labbitt here with reporter Rachel Rickard-Strask.